Welcome now to the midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and as promised, we have some live music for the hour today. Of course, we'll have a 12:30 quiz question too, but the live music for an aft comes from the returning Ancora String Quartet, and they include, in order of distance from me, Wes Luke and Robin Ryan, violins, Ben Whitcomb, cello, and Marika Fisher Hoyt, viola. Welcome back to the midday.
Thanks for having us. Always a pleasure to be here, Norman.
And you have decided to perform a string quartet by a composer best known, far and away, I would say, for his choral works.
Yes. Our winter season is, I think, in a way, like a number of our seasons, in that we often like to pick a very well-known quartet and a very not well-known quartet. So the well-known one was Beethoven Opus 130 with the Beethoven 250th anniversary, and that was one of the only two remaining that we had yet to perform. And in thinking what pairs well with Beethoven, actually a lot of things pair well with Beethoven, but we were interested in doing this quartet by Randall Thompson. So Randall Thompson, yes, better known certainly for his choral and vocal writing, but wrote a number of instrumental things as well. This is his second of two string quartets. First one really rather heavy and somber. This one much lighter. The second one in G major, written in 1967 for the 130th anniversary of the Harvard Music Club.
Of course.
Association.
Of course, yeah.
And so it's very festive. I don't know what 130 years ago, something that happened in 1890 that anybody wants to celebrate, but maybe this will really fit the bill. And it's in the standard four movements. We'll start with the first movement, of course, which is really the shortest of the movements and just a very chipper tune for a sunny Friday at noon.
Does he have a tempo designation or any kind of title for this movement?
Yes, it's Preludio, and the tempo is Allegro Vivace.
Okay.
And he did not call it a jig, but it sure sounds like a jig to me.
Which would be very unusual a way to start a string
quartet.
Right,
exactly. A common way to end one, but not to start one. But just running eighth notes throughout in 6/8 and a toe tapper.
Okay, here we go. The Preludio from Randall Thompson's string quartet number 2.
Thank you.
coming right out of the gate. That first movement, the string quartet number 2, by American composer Randall Thompson. And we're hearing it live in our studio today from the Ancora String Quartet. Are you going to be performing this in an upcoming concert?
Yes, as a matter of fact. We had a couple of performances earlier this week, but we'll be playing it this evening at 5 o'clock at Olbrich Gardens, and then in Sauk City Saturday night, tomorrow night at 7:30.
Ancora String Quartet. And what do we find in the second movement then after that lively jig launching the string quartet?
The second movement is, I think it's a very clever set of theme and variations. A short and simple andantino tune to begin it, and then 6 variations thereafter. Each one not only in a different character, as is common with theme and variations, but also in a different key with a quick little modulation before each one. All kind of in their own different world. So I think fun to listen to and hear his resourcefulness with this otherwise simple tune. Something that Beethoven was good at doing too, taking a simple tune and varying it in all manner of ways.
I just wanted to point out, this is Marika, I just wanted to point out that not only is each variation in a different key, that the keys go up a whole tone scale. So if it begins in G major, the next variation is in A and then B, and it goes up a whole tone scale. And then at the very end, you hear this little tag, da, 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 up a whole tone scale.
Oh, telling
so
you
he's
what he's
playing
doing.
With whole tone scales.
Summarizing the whole thing.
One of the things going on in this theme variations.
So you're playing how many different keys in this movement?
Yeah, 6 keys each a whole step apart.
Okay, that sounds like could be fun for the performer too.
Exactly.
Here we go. Thank you. complete with a summary there at the end, taking you through that whole scale there as the movement itself did. That was the second movement of the four total of the string quartet number two in G major by Randall Thompson, American composer who wrote it in 1967.
Yes.
You're hearing it live in our studio today from the Ancora String Quartet. And before we get into the next movement, I'm wondering what you all do when you're not in the Ancora String Quartet. Wes Luke, for example?
Well, I'm spending time with my family and playing music elsewhere.
Elsewhere places.
I'm the concertmaster of the orchestra in La Crosse, Wisconsin, but I also play in the Madison Symphony and the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra and sub around in different orchestras all throughout the Midwest. Recently started playing in Milwaukee. And I also have other chamber music group. I have a group called Mosaic Chamber Players, which I'm really excited about, also participating in the Beethoven 250th anniversary. And
is that enough? Is that enough for you? Is that you need something to keep you busy? Something more? It sounds like a pretty full plate to me. And Robin Ryan?
So I am, during the day, the chief operating officer at a nonprofit called ARC Community Services. We provide a variety of services for women and their kids across the street, residential, substance abuse, prostitution diversion, all sorts of things. And then when I'm stressed out, I come play with my friends at the Ancora String Quartet and the symphony, and that balances out my life.
It sounds as if it would. And that brings us over to our cellist, Ben Whitcomb.
Oh, I also teach at University of Wisconsin at Whitewater. Enjoy teaching cello studio there, of course, and also some of the theory courses. So that's what, besides my family, that's what I do with all the rest of my non-Ancora time.
And Marika, do you have a day job?
No day job, but a compilation of many different projects. I play a lot, so I'm also in the Madison Symphony. And then I have a fairly large career on Baroque viola, so I play in the Madison Bach Musicians, and I have my own Baroque period instrument group, Sonata a Quattro, and I'm about to go play in Indiana with the Bach Collegium there. I also play viola d'amore, so yeah, I do a lot of early stuff. And then I'm also co-founder of a Bach concert series called Just Bach. That's every month at Luther Memorial here in town. And then I'm also artistic director of Bach Around the Clock, the day-long Bach marathon in March every year. So that's coming up.
Celebrating the birthday of Bach.
Exactly.
Whether it's Beethoven's big year or not. Yeah. It's
always a big March year. 28th. Be there.
Always a big year for Bach. Yeah. Well, on to the third movement of this string quartet in G major by Randall Thompson. And what's happening with that?
Great. It's another slow movement, the slower of the two middle movements, and it's kind of the standard song without words, an aria, a slow aria for strings, and I think somewhat in the style of a lullaby, but thoroughly American. Thompson spent a little bit of time studying in Italy, but a very American sound, and I think both the melody and the way he harmonizes it in this sounds is a very American style lullaby.
Thank you.
the Ancora String Quartet with the third movement of the String Quartet No. 2 in G by the American composer Randall Thompson. And Ben Whitcomb, he calls it what? You call it a lullaby, and that certainly is apt. But what is the official name for this movement?
Oops, I'd already turned to the next movie. It's just called Adagio, nothing more than Adagio.
Well, we know how potent those Adagios can be, given the one by Samuel Barber, for example.
Oh, yes.
Now back to the Ancora String Quartet and the finale of Randall Thompson's String Quartet No. 2 in G from 1967.
Right. The finale is just marked Allegro con brio. It could easily be Allegro vivace, or even agitato, maybe as a label if he had chosen. It is starts out in minor, unlike the other three movements, and is a little bit agitated, but it does have a happy ending. It is the only of
spoiler
the,
alert.
Right. It is the only of the four movements in sonata form, so maybe he felt ought to include one of these two if it's that traditional style of a string quartet.
Thank you.
little bit of whimsy there at the end of that string quartet by Randall Thompson. That was the Ancora String Quartet that you're hearing live in our studio, and they'll have something by Beethoven, and I'll repeat our 12:30 quiz question after this on WPR. Now one more from the Ancora String Quartet in this Beethoven 250th year celebration, which is probably going to be going on all year in one place in one form or another. And this is a cavatina, which implies kind of a little, almost like a street song originally, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was just going to throw in a quick segue. Maybe it's too late for that. If the Thompson reminded anybody of Copeland, we'll be playing the Copeland Appalachian Spring on May 23rd at First Unitarian Society.
String quartet version.
The one for 13. Yeah, so Ancora Quartet and Friends. Lots of friends.
Yes, 13 instruments, I think, was the non-orchestral version.
So just as a brief introduction to the Beethoven Cavatina, if it's not familiar to anyone, which I hope it would be, I specifically requested Norman if we could play this piece for his show, because it's one of my favorite pieces of music ever written, as it is for many people. It seems to be one of the most deeply intimate pieces of music ever written. It's one of the last slow movements but Beethoven wrote at the end of his life, and as music enthusiasts know, all of those individual slow movements are just the most gorgeous pieces, but this one in particular seems like it's so close to his heart. And he actually specifically reported to his friend that it was the one piece that he wrote, when he thought about the inspiration for it, it still made him cry at the very end of his life. And it's an example of that kind of paradox of much of the greatest art ever written, that the most deeply personal is also the most universal. And I think for that reason, Carl Sagan chose it as the final track on the golden record attached to the Voyager spacecraft that was sent out into deepest space in 1977. The point of this record was to represent life on Earth with natural sounds, recordings of birds, human greetings, and music from different cultures all over the world. And this piece, this cavatina, was chosen as the final track because seemingly every human being on the planet could probably relate to this somehow.
And perhaps on other planets too.
I just wanted to read briefly a couple sentences that Carl Sagan said about this idea. He said, "Billions of years from now, our sun, by then a distended red giant star, will have reduced Earth to a charred cinder. But the Voyager record will still be largely intact in some other remote region of the Milky Way galaxy, preserving a murmur of an ancient civilization that once flourished on the distant planet Earth."
Well, here we go. We're going to be sending your performance out into space also, and who knows where that will end up.
Thank you.
Cavatina by Beethoven in this 250th year celebration of Beethoven. Does that come from one of the string quartets?
Yes, that's the fifth movement of his string quartet in B-flat, opus 130. Paradoxically, again, it kind of operates as the fulcrum of music history, this most intimate movement, because after that, Beethoven wrote this huge fugue, the Grosse Fugue, that yes. no one liked. And
a lot
his
of people
publisher,
still don't understand it.
His publisher asked him to write a different ending for that piece. His piece was too avant-garde, so he wrote a traditionalist piece. And now in classical music, we still split our time between the avant-garde and the tradition, but this piece is right at the fulcrum.
And as you say, Wes, it's very expressive and the sort of thing, just the sort of thing you'd want to send out into space to share with others out there. One day, one place, who knows where. We've been hearing from the Ancora String Quartet during the midday today. They include violinist Wes Luke and violinist Robin Ryan. The cellist is Ben Whitcomb, and Marika Fischer-Hoyt is the violist, and they are, as you probably heard, all individually active performers and also pretty much get around with the Ancora String Quartet. And they'll be playing some of the same music. When is the next one again? Is
tonight.
It tonight?
Tonight at 5 o'clock at Ulbricht Gardens in town. And then tomorrow night at Sauk City, Park Hall in Sauk City at 7:30.
Well, thanks for sharing with the midday again today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.